I have something a little special this morning. Good morning. Good to see everyone. Visitors, howdy. We're going to do something a little different this morning. Miss Mary Ann said that the Lord put something on her heart, so we're going to follow through with it. If you're a teacher, if you're a bus driver, maintenance man or woman, and anyone who has anything to do with the school system, you know, I'd like for you to come forward if you don't mind. I don't want to embarrass you. If you're a student and you're getting ready to go back to school, you could come forward. If you're a student, elementary, middle, high school, college students, come forward. If you have anything to do with the school system, I appreciate it. And Amen. Look at this. This is like half the church right now this morning, right? So we want to pray over you. We want to bless you. We want to ask the Lord to, you know, give you wisdom and guidance in your steps into this mission field we call the school system, right? So if everybody else could stand up for me, I appreciate it. And let's, if you want to just, I'm going to pray and do whatever you think's best. If you want to, you know, pray with me, or, you know, anybody have anything on their heart right now? That everybody good? Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we just pause for just a minute, Lord, to say thank you for these students. Thank you for the folks that work in the school system. Lord, we thank you for these teachers, the helpers. And Lord, we just take time right now to ask for your blessings to be poured out upon them, Father, that you'll direct their steps, you give them wisdom. Father, you give these teachers all the patience that they need. Give them the spiritual gifts that they need to minister to these students. And Lord, we thank you for the students, elementary through college. Lord, they're precious to us. We ask you to keep them safe. Place your angels encamped about them, that you'll give them a deep down desire to study and to learn and to grow up and be the men and women that you've called them to be. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, kids can go on to children's church now. Thank you, teachers, and instructors, and amen. It's awesome, wasn't it? See all those folks. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 1 today. And I definitely want to plug again the men's meeting at Mr. Pete's house Tuesday night. All you men, please be there if you can. I heard the meal is a secret. I don't know why Miss Marianne's keeping it a secret, but I'm looking forward to it, so. And we're going to study and fellowship together and have a good time. And so if you men, definitely, you know, invite some folks too. And let's pass the word to everybody. If you need directions, please see me or Pete or some of the guys that know how to get this house. Let's do that. And all right, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. So this is quite a long message, so stay with me. I want to encourage you to take good notes as we go along, but we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for our guest. Lord, I ask you to bless this time. Help me teach this, Lord, the way you put it on my heart. Lord, to draw us closer to you. Teach us more about how to become more like you. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
All right, Hebrews 1. 1 through 3. I've prayed about it now for almost 2 years. October will be here 2 years. And I feel the Lord is impressing upon me to be faithful with the English Standard Version. So, you know, from now on, the scripture will be in the ESV version. And you can study that, but that's what we're going to do. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the ESV, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Everybody say amen? The book of Hebrews is about confident living. It's about confident living. And it was written to Jewish Christians who really were being persecuted a lot, and they kind of started doubting or losing confidence in the gospel. And they even got to the point where they were actually considering going back to Judaism. So they were really struggling. Okay? And we don't really know who the author is in Hebrews. Some folks think it was Paul. And we know from Paul's epistles, you know, he was pretty clear about, you know, who wrote the epistles. It was Paul, you know. And some of the folks believe that Hebrews was not like Paul's epistles, but maybe it was one of Paul's really long sermons. That's a pretty long sermon, isn't it? But one of his sermons, or a collection of some of his sermons. But we really don't know. Some people think it was Apollos. Some people think it was Barnabas. But really, the book of Hebrews really doesn't tell us who the author is. And so we have to conclude that only God knows. And but we do know that Hebrews was written somewhere around A.D. 60. All right? So the open verse that we just read, it reveals to us how God speaks to us. And God speaks to us in many ways. And God speaks to us powerfully through his creation. Now, how many of you guys have been out at night when it's a clear night and you could see the stars, right? Out here in the country, you can really see the stars, you know. It's beautiful, so the Big Dipper or the, you know, the North Star. How many of you guys have seen the snow-capped mountains in Colorado or Montana? It's beautiful. One of the things that the last time we went to, well, not that time, but the time before, we went to visit California with Lynn's parents, and we saw Yosemite National Park. And the first time I saw Yosemite, I was just blown away. And the big trees, everybody seen the big trees? Literally, the tree is as big as this whole platform. Whole tree. It's amazing, amazing. Looking at the Caribbean Sea, you know, the crystal clear waters, the sun going down. It's beautiful. That's one of the things we like about the cruise is the beautiful water, deep blue, and then it gets real light blue, and then it gets real emerald green. Just beautiful, right? It's awesome. Frankie and Bobette and Adam and Lori and the other folks who went to Alaska, I'm sure they could tell us some really awesome stories of the beauty of God's creation and God speaking to you. Think about this now. Out of this beauty and this vastness and this precise creation that God created, this awesome world and earth, do you think for a minute that it was some kind of cosmic chance? Some cosmic accident that happened? I think not. In Psalms 19:1, which is our memory verse today, we're going to kick that back off again. I kind of like that, the memory verse. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So God is speaking to us. He speaks to us through his creation. But however, God clearly speaks to us in other ways. Like we read in the scripture, God spoke to us through many, many different ways and through the prophets of the old. I mean, remember Moses? He spoke to Moses through cloud and the smoke and the fire and the tree and the Ark of the Covenant. spoke to Elijah in a whisper, and Ezekiel through visions, and Daniel, he spoke through what? Dreams. So all these ways that God speaks to us, what it's revealing is God wants to speak to us. And He still does. See, the problem has never been that God wasn't speaking to people. The problem was we weren't listening. Sometimes we don't listen. Jesus summed it up. You know, that's why one of my favorite Bible verses says, real simple, God said what? Be still. And know that I'm God. Be still. I really think that's God speaking to us today is, be still. What's the big hurry? Why are we in such a rush? All of us, me, you, all of us, we just need to be still sometime. Amen? God's God. He's got this all worked out. Jesus said in Matthew 11:15, He says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now Jesus knew that most everybody had ears, but not everyone was really listening. See, I see that all you guys in here, most of you have ears. Right? Everybody got ears? If you don't, I don't mean to offend you, you know. You'll be all right. Everybody has ears in here. But honestly, sometimes I can tell, even from preaching, that sometimes folks are not listening. I don't mean that disrespectful. There's been times I've been in your same shoes where I wasn't listening. I was distracted by the roast in the oven or the ball game. Or I'm just, oh, God, will this guy be quiet, man? I'm ready to go. Right? I know that I give a lot of scriptures out in my message. And I do that on purpose because I really want that Word of God to get out to you. So here's a suggestion for you. You can do what you want to do, obviously, adults. But I would encourage you to be students of the Word. I would love for you to come in with pencil and pen and paper. You don't have to. But again, as the professionals tell us, you're going to forget most of what I say, most of what God's really trying to say to us as soon as we walk out that door. So I'd love for you to come in with pencil and paper and take notes. Here's another one, too, I'd encourage you. It's a little different twist, so don't let me mess you up here. But as I'm giving these scriptures out and I'm moving with the message that I believe that God's given me, like when I say a scripture, you know, John 1:18. I would rather you listen intently than scramble in the Bible and try to find the scripture. And by the time you find it, I've already read the scripture and already said a few more little things. So don't run out of here saying Dallas didn't want us to look up the Bible verse. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like Jesus said, I would rather you listen intently. Write down that Bible verse and then look it up later when you're doing your own personal Bible study to review the sermon. Make sense? Write down that little scripture. Write down something the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart and stay with the message. Just a little suggestion. Right on? All right. God still speaks to us in many ways. God speaks to me through the Bible, through circumstances in my life, through spiritual impressions. God speaks to me through my wife, Lynn. God speaks to me through godly friends. And God speaks to me through trials and tribulations and adversity. Doesn't He? Yes, He does. God speaks to us in many different ways, and He can speak to us through these people. But I want to encourage you that God's spoken Word is also and always consistent with His written Word. Use that as your measuring stick. If you got a friend at work or a friend or a family member, and they say, well, God told me to tell you this about this and this, or this is why I laid on my heart, or if you're listening to the squirrels running around the tree and the beautiful scenery and out in the country, kind of get in touch with the Lord, you know, through walking by the river, and you've sensed something in your heart, make sure that all that lines up with the written Word of God. Make sure it all lines up with God's Word. God's final word is Jesus. Amen? His final word is Jesus. The writer of Hebrews makes it very clear that God has given us the final word. And really, it's not through some lawgiver. It's not through some prophet or modern-day prophet. And it's not through some modern-day preacher either. In Hebrews, he writes, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God's ultimate medium for speaking to us today is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And that phrase that says, these last days, refers to time that we are living in today, right now, today. God's final word today is Jesus. John 1:18 says this, no one has ever seen God. Who is at the Father's side? He has made him known. If you look at that word Greek and that word known, that word means exegete. The word exegete means to interpret, to correctly interpret, to explain. So it's like Jesus exegetes God. In other words, Jesus is explaining and unfolding our understanding of God in the Word of God. Because Jesus is the Word of God. So the Word of God is explaining to us about God. Everybody with me? The writer of Hebrews continues by telling us three important ways that Jesus reveals himself as God's final word. So this is the three points I want to make. So I hadn't even got started on my points. So y'all hang with me. Everybody good? Raise your right hand. I'm good. Man, they didn't look right. Yeah, sorry. I'm good. I'm not going to say it, Adam. I'm learning not to say what comes to my mind. It's been difficult for me. All right, the three R's. So if you're taking notes, we're going to go through what I refer to as the three R's. The letter R. Jesus reveals why he is God's final word. Here it is. Jesus is the recipient of all things. The radiance of God. And he is the redeemer of all people. Amen. So let's look at number one. If you're taking notes, number one, he is the recipient of all things. God appointed Jesus heir of all things. We just read it in the scripture. We're going to take this scriptures right here. It's up there, right? Yeah. That scriptures. Oh, we got to get that screen fixed. Get the God appointed Jesus heir of all things. We're going to dissect those scriptures in just the next few minutes. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. It was through Jesus that God created the world. And when we talk about the world here, it's not normally the same world that we read in Scripture. Usually in Scripture, in the Greek, that word means cosmos. But not this particular time. This particular time, if you look at that word world in the Greek, it means eon. Everybody say eon. Eon, which means a long, long indefinite time. It could mean billions and trillions of years. But think about this, guys. This means that Jesus not only created material things and created this world and these stars and these mountains and these rivers and oceans and seas, but he also created time. So his creation continues indefinitely. Indefinitely. You see, there are things still happening, okay, in God's time and in God's order. In God's time and in God's order, things are still happening. God is still creating. I mean, the scientists tell us, don't the scientists tell us that? You know, they look out there as far as they can go and they see that things are still, you know, being created. And universes and galaxies and yada yada, you know. You see, guys, this is why we're not an accident. Everybody say, I'm not an accident. Let's do it again, one more time, real loud. I'm not an accident. See, we are not an accident. God told Jeremiah he knew him before he formed him in his mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5. Before, this is God speaking, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Wow. I appointed you a prophet to the nations, God told Jeremiah. You see, you and I are not some kind of cosmic accident. For example, let's consider your eye. That's been the topic of the last couple of weeks, right? Thank God for Miss Early's surgery, and we do need to pray for Mr. B. He's going to be having his eye surgery in the morning, right? Let's all remember him and some other prayer requests, definitely, for sure. But the human eye has 6 to 7 million charged cones. I had to look this up now. It's not that I didn't know this until like 3 or 4 days ago. So. The human eye was made up of millions of these little charged cones, and they're loaded to fire off a message to your brain when a few rays of light cross them. These cones are so powerful they can distinguish thousands of shades of color. Just this little eyeball. Ever been in a paint store and you see all these colors, you know, run all around? Our eyeball can just distinguish every one of them, you know, thousands of them. What they say, the smartest people in the world, is you can put all the MDs and PhDs and scientists and computer programs together, and they still can't duplicate the eyeball. Wow. You are not an accident. Some folks want us to believe that we're a cosmic accident. I think I heard Mr. Pete say this one day. I don't have the faith for that. Do you? I don't have that much faith to believe that we're just happened. You see, it takes a lot less faith to believe in God than to believe that we're some kind of accident. It just happened. Really, it does. That's when the Bible says only a fool would say there's no God. Amen? Really? Jesus Christ is the medium through whom God created everything that exists. Therefore, he is the rightful heir of all things. Jesus is God's final word to us because he is the recipient of all things. Number two. Remember, we got 3 points. Number two. He is the radiant. That was kind of country. He was the radiant. Sorry. It came out real country, didn't it? I spent too much time in Alapaha. He is the radiance of God. Jesus is the radiance. In other words, the brightness of the glory of God. All right, listen to this. I think this is really cool. He is not just a reflection of God. Okay? And I'm going to ask some elementary questions here, but the kids might enjoy it. Is the light of the moon the same as the light of the sun? Kids? No, not really. Have you ever been moonburned? Don't answer, Adam. Have you ever been moonburned? No, right? No, no. Okay, as we all know... As we all know, the moon reflects the light of the sun, whereas the sun radiates light because it is the source. Think about that. Jesus doesn't reflect God. Jesus is not reflecting, you know, God. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory because he is God. He is God in flesh and blood. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus said, he was talking to Philip, Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know who I am. And Jesus told him straight up, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus, as the scripture says, Jesus is also the exact imprint of God. Now, if we look at that word in the Greek and we break it down, that word imprint means image. It means image. And basically, it's where we get the English word character. Let's think about that one. Okay? The character. See, Jesus is the exact representation of the holiness and the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Jesus doesn't reveal God's appearance, his appearance. Jesus reveals God's character. Jesus, as it says in the scripture, Jesus also upholds, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And that word upholds, if you look up there, that word upholds, or in some translations, it's upholding. Think about it. We just read it. It's present tense. Isn't it? It's present tense, denoting continuous action. He's still holding it together. He's still in charge of his creation. See, our universe is, and right in Hebrews, it's beautiful. Our universe is not in chaos because the sustaining power of Jesus Christ keeps everything together on course, in God's plan, in his order. You ever think about it? You know, why is the planets not ever just bumped and collided, you know? Scientists think they have that figured out and understand that. And I respect that to a point. Right? Why is Earth haven't just flowed over into the sun and just melted? Why isn't some big giant meteorite just crashing into the earth all the time? Colossians 1:17. Listen closely to this. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus, Holy Spirit, is holding all this stuff together, holding everything. Jesus Christ is not only the creator of the universe, he also sustains and maintains what he created. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is the recipient of all things, the radiance of God, and number three, he is also the redeemer of all people. The writer of Hebrews now moves from creation to Calvary. He writes this, after making purifications for sins, Think about this, the very same God who spoke the universe into existence chose to come to earth and die on the cross so that we could have purification. In other words, cleansing for our sins. Romans 6:23, we're all familiar. The wages of sin is death. Listen closely. The wages of sin is death. We are all sinners, and we can either pay the penalty for our sins through eternal death, or we can accept Jesus' payment for our sins on the cross, whereby we inherit eternal life. It's that simple, isn't it? The Bible says, choose this day who you will serve. When we admit and repent of our sins, we experience spiritual purification, cleansing, washing of the blood, worthy to cover the sins of the world. Ephesians 1:7 says it. I love this. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Jesus died on the cross and was buried to pay for our sins. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. About 40 days later, He ascended into heaven. And He's seated and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, as Hebrews writer tells us. He sat down, and today He's our one and only High Priest. You see, there were no seats in the earthly tabernacle or the temple. Priests could not sit down because they had work to do. Their work was never done. There were always sacrifices for sin that had to be made. Praise the Lord. However, since Jesus had made the final sacrifice for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. You see, the right hand signified honor and power. Do you know what God the Father said to Jesus when He returned to heaven? In a messianic psalm, David tells us this. David tells us what the Lord, which was Yahweh, will say to David's Lord, which was the Messiah. In other words, what does God the Father say to Jesus when He returned to heaven? Psalms 110:1. Psalms 110:1. Listen to this. This is beautiful. This David says, "The Lord," which is Yahweh, "the Lord says to my Lord," which is Jesus, "sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool." Wow. That means it's not over. It's not over. When Jesus was standing to trial before Caiaphas, the high priest, just hours before His crucifixion, He told Caiaphas He would see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming to the clouds in heaven. Jesus is coming back to claim what is His. He is coming back. Jesus is God's final word to us because He is the recipient of all things. He is the radiance of God. And He is the Redeemer of all people. Now we've learned today, some of you already knew this, but God speaks to us in many ways. God's final word is Jesus. And He said that He was coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. My question for some of you this morning is, are you ready? Are you ready for His return? So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, as always, for the opportunity to come and worship You and hear Your word. Thank You, Lord, for living in America where we can get together. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, as we do the song of invitation, I ask they would come down and talk with me, and I'd be glad to speak with them about that. Father, there might be one here that wants to join our church, maybe get baptized. But I just ask that they would come down, and we'll talk about that too. We love You. We thank You. We trust You. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.